Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Presented by Kangaroo Express.
Hey, it's the Root.
Jaguars Monday with J.P. Shadrick, Jaguars great Tony Baselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Ticket Exchange and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday starts right now.
Here we are on Jaguars Monday from the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. J.P. Shadrick, Pete Prisco, Tony Baselli. Reaction from the Week 5 loss to Pittsburgh, 17-9. Defense a little better. Jags with a
little
score
better
in the fourth.
A lot better.
Run game struggled some. Bortles threw that
pom-poms
costly pick at the end.
What
we'll look
pom-poms
around the National Football League.
What are you talking about? You're saying the defense didn't play a lot better.
They play better.
That's a top five offense.
They play better.
They played winning. They gave up 10 points.
Yeah, they played good.
That's winning. They played winning football.
We'll get to some phone calls a little bit later.
Let me ask you, in today's NFL, if you only give up 10 points, how many times do you think you'd win that game?
You're like so easy to just.
I'm just asking you the question.
It doesn't take much at all.
No, Pete, I'm asking you the question.
Yes, they played winning
at
football.
If you give up 10 in today's, yes, with today's rules.
You asked the question, I'm going to answer. Yes, they played winning football.
We'll take some calls a little bit later. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. I heard you say pom-poms earlier, right?
He's got to put the company line on.
It's not a company line.
Did you get your email talking points today, Tony?
What talking points?
Okay. All right. Just making sure.
From who? Oh, yeah. Dave and Gus sent me talking points to make sure I say this, that, and the other.
I don't know. I'm just asking. Just making sure.
Okay. Before we get into the Jaguars, okay? Mm-hmm. Saturday night, the tip ball. I mean, the Hail Mary, I send out a tweet and you don't respond.
So let me tell you the whole story about that. So Saturday night, I had to go to a function. So I got home, end of the first half. And we were controlling the game.
Correct.
I mean, controlling the entire game.
Right.
So I'm watching the second half, and which most people know, my wife is probably a bigger USC football fan than I am. I mean, so we're sitting in bed watching the game. Well, I'm exhausted. So I didn't sleep the night before because we lost the high school game in overtime. So I got no sleep, got early in the morning to watch the film. So I doze off in the third quarter. And every once in a while I'd hear her cheering or yelling something. But I wake up, what's going on? Oh, we're controlling the game. It's fine. Everything's no problem. And so all of a sudden, whatever time it was, 11:30 at night, I hear this scream, you got to be kidding me scream. And I wake up and I said, what happened? And she goes, we just lost. I said, what do you mean we lost? We were controlling the whole game. And then so I saw the highlight at that point of us not jumping for some reason and allowing the guy just to run down there and catch the ball. And I looked at my phone, saw your tweet, and went to bed. I'm like, I'm not responding.
You might want to teach your backs that when you get into the open field and there's no timeouts left, not to score. Game would have been over.
Take a knee, right?
Yes. Game would have been over. But they scored. And ASU scored.
And then we stopped them. Got stopped.
Yeah.
I mean, we controlled the entire game.
But not the scoreboard.
No, I agree. No, you guys won.
They had a backup quarterback who threw for 500 and some yards. What do you mean he controlled the whole game? You should have won the game.
I'm not saying you guys
won. They're not any good either.
Oh, we're playing 11 true freshmen.
ASU's playing a ton of young.
That's what I'm saying. We're young.
The Jags.
I had no illusions that we were going to win the Pac-12 this year.
The ASU quarterback is pretty good. And I wonder if the other kid comes back, if they'll stick with him.
So, yeah, I saw your tweet, and I was exhausted.
I'll be honest with you. I'm still happy when they win, but part of me is just sad at the system. Because now, think about this. UCLA lost late, right? So now, if ASU UCLA wins out, they're not playing.
If ASU runs the table and wins in the Pac-12 championship,
they wouldn't get in at the Pac-12 championship if UCLA runs the table.
They're not going to. UCLA's offensive line.
I mean, you had a heartbreaking Saturday afternoon, too.
Yeah, but here's the problem with the system, to your point. It's still a beauty pageant, so everyone's convinced the SEC is so great.
And there's plenty of football left in the SEC West.
By the way, the SEC East is awful. It's awful. I mean, it is an awful part of the conference. Mm-hmm. The West is very good, so Alabama can now run the table, win a cupcake of a SEC title game, and they'll get in because of who they are and their reputation.
Well, they still have to run the table through LSU, Mississippi State, Auburn, Auburn.
Just because LSU's called LSU doesn't mean they're any good. They're no good this year.
Can we move on?
Yes.
I don't know why we're talking about this.
Because
you brought it up.
For once. For once, I can come in here and boast about the school.
So Pete could actually celebrate his 63rd birthday, too, with a win.
63rd.
Congratulations.
Bite your tongue.
Is your birthday today?
Yesterday.
Oh, happy birthday.
And, I just turned 40. I can't believe it.
Now, how old are you really? 53?
How old are you?
42. You're 55, aren't you?
54.
Oh, you're old.
Yeah. We talked about this last week.
You came here as a wide-eyed kid when I first met you.
And you were a short, fat guy back then, too.
And you were mature. That's right. You
were 48. We had this whole conversation last week.
He was 48 when he was 19.
That's right. He's got a 25-year-old son. Funny how that works.
One last thing on college football.
Okay, great.
Your uniforms are just awful.
It's
those
pathetic.
Black helmets.
I don't like it either.
Terrible.
They used to have great traditional uniforms.
It's
they
awful.
Stink.
You know the one school that hasn't changed their uniform besides Alabama?
USC.
It's SC.
Yep.
Keep them the same, baby.
I'm with you.
You want to start on offense or defense, guys?
Wherever you want to go, baby.
Let's go defense. Very much improved unit. Got four sacks on Roethlisberger. The defensive backs played a little tighter, it seemed like. Overall, I mean, allowed 10 points offensively for Pittsburgh. Good
you know, I didn't. They got four sacks. I did not think the pass rush was great. It was great coverage. They really covered well.
I thought McCray played really well.
Very well.
Because there were a couple times where Roethlisberger, like, pumped four times.
15 times one time. Yeah. I mean, and so I thought the back half coverage was much better. I mean, so much better. I thought McCray played well. I thought as a unit they played smart. They're better in their zones of carrying guys and making sure they had route awareness. I thought and I liked what Bob Babich's game plan was. He said, listen, we're not going to blitz Ben and give us a bunch of one-on-one matchups all over the field. They still went one-on-one. McCray's one-on-one a lot on Antonio Brown. 12 targets and only gave up really four catches because the last one was a gimmicky. And we'll talk about that, how ridiculous that was, in my opinion. To risk a game for an individual record. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Oh, yeah.
And we'll get to that later. But the rush was just okay, I thought. I don't think it was great. There wasn't a lot of winning one-on-one. And now they only rushed four, and they played great coverage. But as a unit, to hold that team to 10 points, I thought I'll tell you who's playing great football right now is Roy Miller. I mean, Roy Miller is a man among boys on the inside. I mean, he is really playing good football. And I thought the front four, even though the pass wasn't great, I thought they played a really solid game all around. And if you give up 10 points, I mean, it's hard to chunk many rocks. I mean, is there certain things
that
you
Steelers can do? Steelers team looked a little lifeless yesterday to me from the TV. And I was in the stadium.
Le'Veon Bell didn't wait around
early,
the ball.
Early on, they looked like they were like, all right, we're going to come in there and they're going to win the game. And then they found out, hey, wait a second, we're getting smacked in the mouth here a little
yeah,
bit.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, that's I didn't sense that watching it live.
That's what I could sense from the TV, just watching it.
I didn't sense that live. I thought they were, I thought it was a pretty good ball game both ways and a lot of energy in the stadium. But, listen, is there a couple things? I'll say the biggest critique or criticism is how on third and seven or third and five, whatever it was at the end of the game, that you don't cover Heath Miller and you let him run and do a little quick pass and there's no one within 10 yards of him to get the first down that basically ended the game. Because if you stop him there, you get the ball back with just under 3 minutes left and you're right in it.
Who is that on?
I watched the tape today, and they had trips right. Heath Miller was the inside receiver. They had the two outside receivers covered up playing off man, it looked like, or some kind of off coverage. They're about 5 yards off. And Cyprian cheated that way, but he's almost in center field, cheated that way at about 17 yards or right around there. And the backers weren't just over at all. They're sitting looking in the backfield, and he just ran through. I don't know if it's if it was a bad call by Bob Babich, if that's what they called, and it just he made a mistake, or if somebody had responsibility, if the backers were supposed to slide over, or when they saw a trip, Cyprian supposed to come down and play tighter coverage. Unless you're in that.
Right, you can't grade it. You can't grade it.
You can't grade it. I don't know whose fault it is. I just know as a unit, someone messed up because you don't allow at the end of the game on third and five to allow a tight end to run free into the middle of the field and no one within 10 yards.
Still didn't get pass rush, though. That's good. Still concerning. No great pass rush.
How do they have? They lead the NFL in sacks.
I know, but they got a boatload. They got a boatload of them in
Philly game. Philly. Five in the first half.
Okay, but they got four against Pittsburgh. Now I agree with you. It was great coverage.
Right.
There's more than
nobody's just whipping somebody.
But well, Pete, you and I both know sacks are one of the most overrated statistics. J.J. Watt the week before had zero sacks.
Right.
But had nine. I mean, affected the quarterback on 10 plays.
In that situation, yes, it can be.
That's my point.
But you don't see anybody affecting the quarterback that way.
Oh, I agree. I look at the entire. Yeah. Like as watch the game, not the numbers, because if you're affecting the quarterback and only get two sacks, but you're knocking him around and he's rushing and scrambling for his life and there's no timing, that's a good defense. I agree with you. They were not affecting the quarterback enough. They played great coverage, and the rush was relentless enough to keep on working to get there and to bring Ben.
But it was a step in the right direction. It's definitely they had a good day yesterday.
They did what they did what Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley built them to do this year, in my opinion, is keep games close into the fourth quarter and give yourself a chance, make it a possession game one way or another, a chance to win it in the fourth. They had their chances. Offensively, they couldn't close the deal.
And I think 2 weeks in a row they've been better. They kind of had their moments in San Diego, but they were better early in that game. So, I go back to my theory on the young quarterback. He kind of
– Did you have them 0-5 at this point?
Yeah.
So you're right on target.
Yeah, I did.
And what did you have them finishing, 4-something?
4. And I think my initial, when I first played it out, I had them winning this week at Tennessee. I don't necessarily think that's going to happen, but
– Oh, I do.
It could.
With the quarterback situation they have, I don't know what locker is going to happen. Their best defensive lineman's got a banged-up ankle. Who knows if he's going to be able to play.
And they're bad on defense.
And they're not a very good football team.
Let me ask you this, guys. Is this defensive performance, is this sustainable for the next few weeks? Can they do this again?
I don't know. But there's no reason they can't. I mean, they have the talent. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think there was nothing out there that you say, oh, they got lucky with a bunch of turnovers or Ben Roethlisberger was off and was just overthrowing everybody. I mean, I think you saw that in the first half of the Eagles where they had the shutout where Nick Foles was really bad missing guys. Yeah. I didn't get that sense yesterday watching them. I mean, they had all their studs. They had Antonio Brown. They had Le'Veon Bell. They had Ben Roethlisberger. They were, they had the whole crew, and they were looked like they were playing well. And so there's no reason – watching the tape, there's no reason that makes me think they can't continue that. Now, are they only going to get 10 points? No, no one does that in today's NFL. I mean, it's virtually impossible with the rules, which are ridiculous, how they're calling games nowadays. It's awful.
You know what yesterday looked like to me on defense? That looked like a sound defense to me. Sound. Not dominant, not, pass rush dominant, just a sound, good, not blow assignment defense. And they did their job. They did their jobs. And they kept everything contained. Now, they had the one run on Bell's run. They blocked that pretty well. I thought Posluszny got blocked on that run. They got a kick out.
And Josh Evans comes up and takes a terrible angle. Yeah,
and he did that a couple times.
He missed a couple tackles.
But for the most part, they're pretty sound.
Yeah, and I'll say this, watching the tape, and there's room for improvement. And so it's not like – that's the other thing where you say, is it sustainable? It's not like I turn on the tape and say, boy, they played perfect. I mean, they did everything right. Where I think the margin for error is really small on the offensive side of the ball with the rookies that are playing and all the different things going on. Like, you don't have much margin for error. I mean, you got to be – to get things to work, you got to be close to pretty perfect. Defensively, I don't feel that way because there's plenty of things to correct and to improve on based on watching that tape yesterday.
Let me ask you this. You brought up Evans, and there were a couple of plays where he didn't have his best outings. How about some other positions there? Like Posluszny. A lot of folks are on Posluszny, it sounds like.
Why are they on him?
I don't know.
I haven't been listening. I stayed off Twitter.
He got blocked a couple times. You watched the tape. I haven't watched the 22, but just on the TV, it looked like he got blocked a couple times. Me, moving forward, I want everybody in Jacksonville tonight to watch Seattle. And I don't want you to watch Earl Thomas. I don't want you to watch Richard Sherman. I want you to watch the linebackers and how they play in
Bobby
that
Wagner.
Defense. Bobby Wagner, Wright. The kid from USC, Smith, that won the MVP. Just watch those guys
fast.
And watch how they run and cover. And they cover so much ground that it makes that defense work. That's what Jacksonville has to get to. They're not close to that right now. Speed.
Yeah, I would agree. I think,
And they'll be the first – they'll be the first guys down there to tell you that they're not fast on – they're not fast at that position right now.
Right.
So that's why people are on Posluszny.
Okay. All right. How about offensively? 3-12 on third downs.
Again. Not very good.
Couple of routes cut short.
Way short.
Finished a yard short. A couple on third and
which I love. Can I bring that up real quick?
What's up?
I love listening on Twitter and
Sports
fans,
Talk Radio.
Sports
yeah.
Talk. Why is Jed calling routes that are too short? And I'm like, really? You think Jed sits in the sidelines? Okay, let me run a 6-yard route on the sideline that's going to take him out of bounds on 3rd and 7. I mean, does anyone with any common sense in their brains listening that have said that really think that's what happened? Or is it possibly that the receiver cut his route off short? That happens all the time.
But there are teams, and you know, they've done it too on third and nine where they throw across.
Yeah, inside stuff, yeah. Not outside
right,
routes.
Right. That's a bad route. That's all that
he
is.
Cut it short.
He said that today. I mean, at least his play, it was cut short.
Yeah, he cut it short.
It was his fault.
Right. And, you know, like he completed. I thought right. Yesterday the play he threw to Hearns for 20 yards, and he made a great play on that, and he had a holding penalty.
Which is a phantom hold, by the way.
Yeah, it didn't look like a hold.
It's not a hold.
No, it didn't look like a hold.
Because if that's a hold, then Roy Miller gets held every play.
Yeah, that didn't look like a hold. But those are the kind of things, see, that call back. Storm Johnson had a 9-yard run called back on a hold, I think, or an 8-yard run, where he made a guy
that
miss.
Wasn't a hold either.
Well, you're an offensive lineman. You never think it's a hold.
No, I'm just telling you. Luke Jokel's hold was a hold on the first half.
Wagner probably thinks it was a hold because he was a defensive lineman.
The two on Blanco were holds.
They didn't look like holds on the TV.
The one on Luke and Zane, those are holds. But the one on Blanco, those aren't holds in this league. Because if they are, then Roy Miller and Cedric Marks got held on every play.
Well, on the one play, there were two holds because Hearns got called for a hold. They could have accepted.
That was a crackback. He about killed Palomalo in the back.
Jeff Lagerman is with us. Jaguars All Access tonight on Channel 4 at 7 o'clock. Sam Kavaris.
He looks like Gary Player today with all
black. Johnny Cash.
Johnny Cash.
Johnny Cash.
He's in mourning.
Hello.
I got the white T-shirt to kind of break it up a little bit, though, you know, showing underneath.
A lot of dark colors.
Yeah.
We're talking. We've talked a little defense tonight, and I know that's going to make that group just a little prouder on the coaching side over here for what they did this past week. But is it? It's more than just 1 week's worth of positive, right?
They got a little bit better against San Diego. They clearly got better against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think there were six plays that I wrote down where the coverage was really good, and I think two or three of them ended up in coverage sacks, and you really hadn't seen a lot of that, you know, prior to yesterday against the Steelers. You know, I still say that, you know, I wish the defense had been able to come up with one, you know, game-changing type takeaway. When you got a young offense, you'd like to have that happen.
Well, you know what? The Avery Jones fumble was a one-point game. They had the ball.
Well, I mean, could have been a game-changing if the offense had been able to respond. I'm talking about getting a takeaway and scoring on defense would be the ultimate.
Okay, sure.
You know, but maybe setting up a young offense at point-blank range or at midfield or something to where they got, you know, great field position to take advantage of it. But it was much better. I mean, you only allow 10 points as a defense. That's clearly better.
It's winning football.
Yeah, the offensive line, I thought, got better. You know, the running game is still in flux, you know, and I expect to see Storm Johnson playing a lot more this week.
There's a storm brewing, it sounds like.
Yeah, I think there might be, you know, and
fairness,
it's needed.
I think it's needed too, but in fairness, the big run Storm had were gaping holes. And so it wasn't like they were great runs. Now, listen, I'm all for it. I said on the broadcast, and I don't change my mind on this. If it was me, I'd give him the majority of the carries to find out if he is the back of the future.
The Magic Man would have turned it into like a 14-yard game.
But it was not.
The Magic Man.
Yeah, that's what I call Toby.
Oh.
He turns 6-yard runs into 2-yard runs. He's the Magic Man.
But there was a gaping hole for it. I mean, those are big holes.
Yeah, but you know, the way he hit it to where.
Oh, I'm all about it. Listen, you know. I just want to temper.
No, like, and I'm not saying
excitement.
It's,
yeah. Like all of a sudden, it's
and we're not saying that Storm Johnson is going to be the answer.
Right. I'm just hopefully.
But what you know what you have currently playing in there is averaging not even 3 yards a carry.
No.
You know, so you've got to look elsewhere to get a little bit more production. I mean, no different than, you know, the adjustments that you had in the starting lineup with the defense. You know, if production's not there, then you have to try to find somebody who can give you that production, and he's next in line because everybody else has played.
Let me ask you this, though. The holes were big, like you said, but the one that was called back, he made a guy miss at the end of it with a move.
It was great.
I agree.
You've got to play him.
Well, he makes
I agree with that. I'm saying, but I'm just trying to temper
he's
expectations.
He's not fast, though, right?
I mean, he's not a burner, but he makes cuts with speed, and he's decisive.
Yeah.
And I think that's been the biggest thing holding Toby back is that he kind of glides and is kind of in, you know, not – quite sure, and you can kind of see the steps get shorter. And as a running back, you want a guy to plant his foot and go.
Well, I'll say the biggest thing. I don't think Toby Gerhart is a zone running back, and that's what they want to run. He's a power back. He's a downhill power, you know, old, you know, power football, pull the guard, kick out
the old ISO block
and go
power,
follow the fullback,
power left, power right, and leads.
Yeah, he's a follow the fullback type of tailback. And this team majority wants to play run zone.
He still can be an effective third down back, which is what his role was in Minnesota. So maybe
good blocker.
He goes to take that role because that's been Denard for the most part.
How much of it for Gerhardt is the foot sprain? He injured early again.
How do you know?
Can't tell.
No, you don't know. But it doesn't matter. You know, I mean, you don't sit there and go, well, he's got a foot. We're going to leave him in there. You know, as a coach, you're going, I don't care why. All I know is that we need to get the production. So, I mean, that goes out
Would
of
you
your,
start
your
Storm
decision
Johnson?
Making.
Can he pick up the blitzes?
That's a great question. I don't know that. You know, the one thing I will say about Denard Robinson, I had a real big question mark. Could he do that? He's been exceptional. He actually got a body slam against one of the Pittsburgh Steeler guys towards the end of that ball game. It was exceptional. I think it was against Troy Polamalu. Put him on his head. You know, so I don't know. You know, and I don't know how good his ankle is, really, Storm Johnson. So would he start? Maybe not, because he missed the first four games inactive with a high ankle sprain or an ankle sprain. I don't know if it was high or low or left or right. I don't know. But then in the game, you remember after one of those long runs, he had to come out and he got taped up again. And then he ended up continuing to play. But you wonder, okay, is he going to be 100%?
Who you got tonight? Jaguars All Access.
A. Sanders.
Nice.
A. Sanders. And looking forward to that. And also, I'm taking a little bit of a shot at the Pittsburgh Steelers in the film.
Mm-hmm.
For what they did at the end of the game, some of Troy Polamalu's foolery, which he has now had 2 weeks in a row.
How about the last 11 years?
But let me bring up something here. You guys remember Mike Utley, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Detroit Lion.
Correct.
Okay, and what happened to him?
Paralyzed.
Okay, and how did that happen? Do you remember?
Yeah.
Somebody jumped up in the air and landed on top of his head.
Right.
What is Troy Polamalu doing? He's jumping up in the air. Remember they outlawed where you could run like on field goal blocks?
Right.
You can't jump
do that it's
away
dangerous.
From the line of scrimmage because it's dangerous to players.
Right.
What's different about what Troy Polamalu's doing?
Right.
Nothing.
He's going to end up killing him. He's going to break his own neck if he doesn't watch out. I mean, because he's going to get flipped over one time. It's dangerous. Whatever he does is dangerous.
I don't think he cares.
Pete, would Chuck Noll have thrown the ball to Antonio Smith at the end of that game just for his personal streak?
Heck no.
Absolutely not.
How about Bill Cowher?
I don't think so.
I don't either.
I don't like it, by the way. Why would you risk the possibility of
losing
a game?
I watched the tape. I think it was Clem who is on the outside, and he tries to tip it. What if he tips it to himself and intercepts the ball there?
Right. Right.
I mean, he missed the tip by 6 inches.
Right.
Would have been the greatest thing in the world.
I agree.
And you want to do that? Here you go.
And we said that. I mean, I'm there. I said, I wish he would have turned the ball over.
Have a great show tonight, Logs.
Thank you, guys.
At Logs56 on Twitter. There he is, Jeff Loggeman. Republic Services, the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida. The official waste provider of the Jags, proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all of your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. Phone lines open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. More Jaguars Monday after this on Jaguars Radio.
It's not okay to lose, and that's also part of our culture. It is not okay. We set up our culture. We strive to get better. We strive to be our best, all for the very reason so that we have a chance to be our best so that we can get the objective of winning. It's that strict, and we believe in the process, and we challenge our guys, but I want to make sure it's clear to them that it's not okay. And they know, just going around the locker room yesterday and seeing that.
Head coach Gus Bradley in his day after press conference earlier today. Archived on Jaguars.com. JP Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco on Jaguars Monday. Glad you're with us.
Who asked the question that got that response?
I think that was one of his opening – remember, honestly. Why?
Because
– was it a dumb question?
Yeah, it's a dumb question. If anyone asks, the players are okay losing. I mean, there's not – I mean, what drives me crazy more than anything is two things. When fans, they're not trying. What do you mean? You're not trying? Listen, sometimes you just get your rear end kicked. So that's one. That's one pet peeve of mine, because I used to hate it when people,
Who said – has anybody said that?
No, not this game. I'm just saying –
don't spill that this week.
I'm just saying in the past. I'm talking about back when I played. I'm not talking anyone now.
Everybody tries.
I used to hate that. We'd be in the locker room, and you'd hear things or the radio or talk sports people calling it, oh, they're not trying. No effort. I'm like, I'd like to strangle you. Number two is they act like they don't care. What do you mean we don't care? We get fired if we don't win. We lose our salaries if we don't win. We care more than anybody.
Well, if you're individually winning, you're not going to lose your salary.
What do you mean?
If player X is playing at a high level and the team's not winning, player X isn't going to lose his salary.
No, that's fair enough. But my whole
coach will lose his salary.
Coach will get fired for sure. But my whole point is no one – I mean, the only way I can say it is – and Pete, you've been around a lot. And JP, you're around the team now a ton. You know how hard guys work to be able to play on Sunday. I mean, the NFL is different than any other sport in the sense of it's like a job during the week. You know, you play basketball or baseball. Now, they're grinds. They're long season, but you're playing the game. I mean, football is a work job. You come to work, and you practice hard, and you meet, right, and you grind
it's
mentally.
It's an 8-to-5 job or whatever.
Yeah,
six
you're,
to five.
You're grinding. Now, and don't call in now and say, well, you get paid a lot of money.
Right.
I'm not questioning. That's not my point.
It's a different animal than basketball and baseball.
And for anyone to think that someone puts all that work in and doesn't care, it drives me crazy. Now, that doesn't mean out of 100 guys, 100% of the guys, is there 1 or 2% around the league that are just JAs and don't care? Sure, but that's any profession. And guess what? They're weeded out pretty quickly. But anyone who thinks that this team doesn't care about winning or losing, that Gus doesn't care about winning or losing, because Gus talks a lot about the process and the competitive.
And I think that's thinking back on it now, that's what the comment was after. It was about the process. You're talking more about wins and losses now than you were before. I think that was what
because
led him
into. He cared about wins and losses last year, but he says it's not those take care of themselves. If you do the process and you take care of the process and you get better, the wins and losses take care of themselves. But to say that this team doesn't care, and I'm not saying anyone said that, but just a pet peeve. So if you're going to call in and you say that tonight, there's a good chance I'm going to say you're.
Yeah, I don't buy that whole notion, and I'm getting a lot of people in town that are.
Let's say that I hear it too. I hear the little birdies chirping
right.
about idiotic things like
right.
that. And don't be an idiot.
They're not happy with where the process is at this point.
No one's happy that we're losing. But let me ask you a question, Pete. You cover all 32 teams. How many teams this year? And so 32 times 16 games, however many games are going to be played this year. I'll say this. In the last 5 years, have you covered how long have you been doing nationally now?
Since 2000.
So last 15 years, you've been covering national games. How many teams have had six rookies on the field, offensively or defensively at one time,
right.
as you've covered them.
Right.
How many teams?
I got to think long and hard. There's probably been one or two, but not many.
Like, I've never heard of it.
Yeah, it's
I've never seen this in the NFL. When we are an expansion team,
right.
we did not have six rookies.
No, you did not. You did not.
I've never seen it.
But that's why people have to quit getting caught up in wins and losses. I'll say this, and this point is made. This regime right now is 0-2 this year with the quarterback. The first three games, you got to judge them now going forward. And at San Diego, they were competitive for a half and then weren't competitive. And they were competitive against Pittsburgh Steelers for the entire game. That's progress. First three games, they were awful. And I go back to my theory on the quarterback, and I still believe that had a lot to do with it.
We'll take another break on Jaguars Monday. If you want your photo or tweet on the massive new Jags video boards during a game, use the hashtag JagsGameDayLive and be a part of the game experience. The Social Drive brought to you by the Nimnik family of dealerships. Phone calls coming up, 355-NFL1, 355-6351, and more Jaguars Monday after this on Jaguars Radio.
Somewhere down the line, these guys can't be rookies anymore, I believe. You know, I think somewhere they played enough games, they say, all right, let's go. I don't even want to talk about that anymore. We understand that. But with our players, it's you played some games now. You know what it's all about. And I know your technique and things like that, you'll continue to clean that up. But to compete and to compete like a veteran, expect that from all of them.
Head coach Gus Bradley earlier today at his day after press conference. Jaguars Monday continues. J.P. Shadrick, Pete Prisco, Tony Vaselli. What point in the season are rookies no longer rookies, guys?
They're rookies all year for me.
Yeah, I mean, it's a learning process.
Yeah, you take an offensive lineman. He comes in. He's not going to be who he is until the next year when he spends an off season. And Tony would know this better than me, in the team's conditioning program, doing things their way. You know, yeah, you get here in May, and you have a couple months. But I'm talking about the guy who's year round with the team. He's a different. His body will change. You'll see him a bit stronger, more physical.
You know, the one thing though is interesting. I feel like a rookie all year as far as the travel and new stadiums and like figuring out. But once the game started, it was football.
You were 40. It's different than most guys.
No, I'm just saying. I got better. I mean, listen, from year one, year two. But it was just like, I became a better football. But I never felt like in the midst of the game, like, overwhelmed, like, oh, my gosh, I'm a rookie.
Yeah, but you were different, Tony. I mean, you're a once-in-a-generation player. I mean, it's different for a lot of guys.
Do you think, and I wonder this. Or do guys when the like listen, trust me, the whole experience that first year was eye opening, like everything else. I mean, I like learning how to be a pro, and you know, I was married. I'm at, you know, you have a house. I mean, just all that going from college, that going to new cities and traveling and all that. Very, you know, the work week and the
dealing
demands.
With the persistent little beat guy on a regular basis.
With Pete on a daily basis. So no, I'm not trying to say that. I mean, there was a lot of learning for me as a rookie.
But once you got on the field.
I felt like that once I got on the field, it's like, you're playing football. Now, listen, the challenge, it was more challenging my rookie year because you're playing for the first time every week. You're playing against guys who can beat you. We're in college. You know, there's probably only like two or three games I played against a guy like I really thought could beat me. You know, you played against good. But, I mean, every week now you're like, yeah, I got to play. But once the ball is snapped, do you think? I'm curious about that. And I think every position is different. Like I watch Brandon Linder,
mm-hmm. He's good,
and there's nothing that I watch him and go, boy, he's a rookie. Now he makes some mistakes. We all make mistakes, but it doesn't seem like. And
but he'll get stronger.
Yeah, look, Luke Blanco. Like I don't ever see the game like overwhelming him. Now I think another year is going to help him a lot. So. I'm not saying there's always a huge jump from year one to year two for everybody.
Receivers particularly.
Yeah, I mean everybody. But I think what Gus is saying is once you get on the field, whether you're a rookie or not, the competitive nature should just come out to go compete.
Does
that make sense?
And you're talking about you bring up a good point about on the field, it's football, you get on there, you just play football, which always comes back to this for me. And I've always had a hard time grasping this. Why is there such a tough time to play on the road?
I'll be honest with you. The road never bothered me.
Right. You did your job the way you...
The only thing that was hard on the road for us...
Was the travel.
No. Big deal. I mean, I never thought that was a big deal. I mean, I didn't want to get...
If you go time change, it is.
It didn't feel like a big deal.
Is it crowd noise?
It's communication for an offensive lineman. That was the only thing I liked at home better. You know, you had the advantage of the snap count.
If you have a good communication system, it shouldn't be as big as a factor as it is in the
national
game.
It's the same game.
No, but here it is. If it is that loud, the distraction, and it's harder to play in that atmosphere because it's so loud and the communication's at a premium. Now, when you get in a rhythm, like I'll never forget, we played Buffalo 96, and that was the loudest stadium I ever played. Like you couldn't hear. Typically, it's just third down in an NFL stadium. You can't hear it on third down. And so you're going silent count. And you can deal with that. And I remember going in, we practiced all week silent count. Nothing new. I mean, not it's not a novel idea. We got into the game, and it's first down, the first series of the game, and I can't hear the quarterback. And I was like, oh, crap. I gotta watch the ball out of a three-point stance. And so now I got to get a little closer to the line of scrimmage so I can see past the guard. In my stance when he snaps it. And so that part becomes a little bit different, especially in the run game now, because I'm trying to watch the ball, and I always liked, I would try to jump the count or get as close as I could to jump the count and get on the guy.
Okay, but that's for the offensive line.
I'm just saying,
defensively, there should be
no.
Nothing. Should be no different.
It should be easier because it's quiet and you can communicate more.
Right. It should be no different.
No.
The other thing is, nowadays, you guys didn't do this, but now the guard taps the center to make the snap now.
Right.
That's become a relatively...
And that's just so the center can figure out where the Mike linebacker is and doesn't have to lose him if he looks between his legs and stuff.
Right.
I don't think that's overly a big deal.
No, but that's
new.
It's new. It's pretty new.
We never did that. It's just the communication. I mean, and it went back from when we played, it was literally you just watched. He put his head up and you watched the ball, and they went. Nowadays, the teams that are really good, in the huddle they say, all right, sign a count on two. So it's a 1-2 count. So if you're the tackle and you get used to your center's count, you know it's a 2 count. So he lifts his head up, you go 1-2, go.
He doesn't say 1-2.
No, but in your head, it's a 2 count.
2 count, yeah, so you got to get used to it. It's a rep in it.
It's a rep in it, and so you know what the 2 count is, and you get off the ball.
All that said, there still should not be a disparity from home to away as much as there is in the NFL.
Communication was the hardest part, and I think when it's really loud, it's hard to communicate. And that's why Seattle is such a tough place, but it is difficult to audible. I mean, it's like Peyton Manning, it's hard to audible. You can't do as much at the line of scrimmage, I don't think, because you can't – how do you communicate that out to –
Plus, they're pretty good.
Oh, listen. I say this all the time, and Log said that. We talked about East to West Coast travel. You know who the long travel, cross-country trips don't affect? They never affect this one group of people.
Good teams.
The really good teams. The really good teams have no problem traveling. I think he's telling you to break them.
Yeah, you're giving me hand signals over here. Let's go to
it's a silent count.
It's a silent count.
Obviously. I would have been a false start right there.
Tap the center, Joe.
Helmets and Heels Radio tomorrow night.
That was really poor, JP.
Jessica Lauren, Donna, and Blythe will be talking Jags of the NFL from the unique and strictly feminine perspective. Tomorrow at 7 on 1010XL 92.5 FM. More Jaguars Monday after this silent count on Jaguars Radio.
Times you see it on tape, you see some things, you go, I don't know where you learned that or where you picked that up from. We had one of those on defense, come up and making a tackle in the open field. The way we approached it to make the tackle, I don't know where that came from. I've never seen that technique before in the 2 years here. But sometimes things like that show up on tape. You know, it just shows you we got to be really disciplined, really strict in our teachings and trust our teachings.
Gus Bradley earlier today, his day after press conference. Jaguars Monday continues. JP Shadrick, Pete Prisco, Tony Boselli. Let's go to the phone lines for the first time tonight, guys. I know you're excited to talk to the Jaguars constituents, Tony. They love you on Twitter, right?
I don't know. I got a tweet about Tony that wasn't very nice.
What was it?
Tony Boselli sucks on the radio.
Well, you got a tweet about that?
Yeah, look, right here.
What's his name?
Tony Brown, downtown this, Tony Brown.
Hey, downtown Tony Brown. I can't say what I almost said something to get me in trouble. I can't say that.
Let's go to Johnny.
Well, I'm glad downtown Tony Brown doesn't pay my salary.
Johnny on the south side wants to talk about the offensive line. Johnny, you're starting us off tonight. What's up?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man.
So my question's this. Last year, Caldwell's first pick, we took Luke Jokel to be the baby Boselli, our franchise left tackle for 10 years. I wanted Boselli's grade on that pick. As of now, it's his second year. He should be coming to his own. I don't watch the line. So, Big Bo, what do you honestly think so far as a grade for Luke Jokel?
Well, first of all, it's really his first year. So this was his fifth game at left tackle, and he played four at right tackle, I believe it was last year. Is that correct?
Sounds right, yep.
So we're still looking at a very young player. Overall grade, the pick, I mean, I think it's too early. I think this is one of my pet peeves is, and I have many of them, obviously, because they're all coming out tonight, is guys like Pete and all his cohorts. Now, he has to do it because it's what he gets paid to do, starts grading the draft right as soon as the draft is over. And you can't grade a draft truly until three years down the road.
3 years.
And so, listen, I think Luke's getting better. I think it's a work in progress right now. There's some really good things you see.
Just grade the guy.
Grade the guy. We'll see if we grade on the seeing through the company glasses or if I'm going to grade it.
So the pick, is that the grade or is his play?
The pick.
I say B to B plus because you have to look at the entire draft.
It was a bad draft around them, so you got to factor that in.
I say BB plus.
So I'd probably say C plus ish.
Wow.
But he's going to be good. He's got to get stronger.
So yeah, but that's so I'm looking at it.
But is that right now? He's asking right now.
Yeah, but Pete, if you go look and see, this is what you have to do. Go look at the left tackles in this league,
right,
and how he compares to it.
Correct.
And so I say it's a BB plus with the opportunity to be
plus.
An A.
I say C plus with an opportunity to be a B pluser.
Never can be an A.
Yeah, maybe. He's got athletic as heck.
That's my
he
point.
He got dumped on his behind on the third play of the game on a run play. I mean, he was turtled.
Cameron Hayward's a strong man.
He was turtled though.
Well, it's
did
all
you get turtled.
Yeah,
you did.
Yeah.
Who did
that out?
Who did it?
We were playing Buffalo one year, and we had. I remember the play. We had an outside stretch, weak side stretch. It was back. We ran like I don't know if it was back to black, but maybe two out of three plays. And the first time we ran it, I just took Bruce to the sideline, just dogged him, and we had a big game. And so we called it again, and he was a wide, wide how he used to get.
Right.
And so I drop step to try to get to let him try to get him to think I'm going to reach him, so he starts widening, and then I can flip him outside. Like it was perfect the first time. And he read it pretty well, and he caught me as my second foot is in the air and hit me right in the chest.
I vaguely – that was in the playoff game, right?
No, it was 97 before we went to Oakland. And hit me right in the chest and just drove me back. Now, the good thing is the back cut underneath, we still had positive yards, but I was on my back. I was not the hammer. I was the nail that play.
But it was a little different than the way Luke got put on his back yesterday. That was just power over power. He went right over the top of him like a truck. I do think Luke is – I'm with Tony. It was a bad draft. It was a bad draft. If you look around the guys that are around –
just around the league. It was,
you talk about Fisher.
The class.
A lot better than Fisher.
Deion Jordan, who hasn't done anything. Yeah. I mean, you look around that group of guys who was picked there. It wasn't a good draft. I would give him right now a C+. But I think eventually when he gets stronger and he's athletic, he could be an A and he'll probably be a B plus.
Papa Louie in Neptune Beach wants to talk.
And can I say one more thing before we go to Papa Louie?
Okay, yes, Tony.
I mean, you know this. Every football player, if you play long enough in the league, gets knocked down on the rear end.
Right.
At some point.
I'm not saying that's why.
I'm just saying, but am I wrong about
that? One more thing about that.
Go for it.
It's unfair to compare him to him.
I don't like that either. I hate that.
It's unfair to compare him to Tony.
It's not fair to – I mean, why –
he was picked second, just like Tony was, and everybody wants to compare him to – it's not fair to him.
And I'll say this. I used to deal with it when I was coming out of SC and you're the next Anthony Munoz. I'm like, listen, you're talking about the greatest player to ever play the position. Anthony Munoz, I'm like, I don't know. Probably not. I just want to – let me just be Tony Baselli and let Luke Joekel be Luke Joekel.
That's what people do. They compare him. It's not fair to
him. It's not fair to – but it's not fair any time you do that to a young player.
Well, I can tell you this with 100% certainty. He ain't going to be as good as him. That much I know.
Yeah, it's Tony.
No, he's not going to be. It won't happen. It's not happening.
Well, you never know.
It ain't happening.
He's an athletic kid.
You know why? As a rookie, you knew right away you were going to be that way. You don't know that about him. That's why. You can say that.
Papa Louie, you're going to have to wait till after the break.
Yeah, we'll take a timeout.
Papa Louie. I like
Papa
the name.
Louie, Papa Louie.
When we come back on Jaguars Monday.
Is Papa Louie bringing pizza?
We'll ask him when we come back. Visit Jaguars.com and check out Inside the Jaguars. Jeff Loggeman on there today recapping the game. Gus Bradley's full press conference as well. Hour 2 of Jaguars Monday coming up on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
We're back, hour two of Jaguars Monday. JP Shadrick, Pete Prisco, Tony Baselli. Phone lines are open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Papa Louie's been waiting patiently in Neptune Beach to talk about the defense. What's up, man?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great. Is your name
call.
Really Papa Louie?
Thanks for taking my call, Tony. Couple things real quick. Once in a generational guy, I think there's been three or four tackles that have been elected in the last 20 years. I agree you should be there, and you and Jimmy and Fred should definitely be there, and hopefully y'all will be. Getting to the game, though, I sit in the north end zone, and I'm looking down, and first got their offense driving. I see a wide receiver left, a spot guy, and Heath Miller flexing to the left. We have one cornerback and one safety doesn't know what to do. And thankfully, Roethlisberger goes right for an incomplete pass, and they kick a field goal. I mean, that's 6 points right there. Second of all, the coaching and the players, are they on the same page? We're not sure. I'll take my comments off the air.
Whoa, Papa Louie.
Papa Louie's not happy. I was hoping Papa Louie was going to bring some pizza. But
he was mad at me because I said you were a once-in-a-generation player. Okay, Ogden and those guys were in
your, Walter Jones.
Yeah, okay. But when you say once-in-a-generation player, you mean, you know what I mean. It's a special player. Just like J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt's a once-in-a-generation player.
He's a good one. Gosh, he's good.
Leo and Mandarin talking about parody. Leo, what's up tonight?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys, and letting me in. Pete, I don't try to call in here and always agree with you, but you're so right about the quarterback play. But Kelly, in fact, last time I called you guys after the half that Bortles played, and I told you that the running game was going to open up. And you said it wouldn't open up right away. Well, let me tell you something. They respect this kid already. They respect his arm, his ability to throw, you're seeing that.
Hey, pump your brakes. Where did the great running – I must have missed the huge breakout day on the ground.
No. We don't have any running backs, but the holes are opening up. They're not crowding the line of scrimmage anymore.
Really?
Really.
Really? They didn't play a lot of cover one? High safety?
Look, all I'm telling
you is
you know, the rookie running back come in, he got some nice yards. I mean, you know,
how many yards did we have
Gerhardt
for the day?
Ran for a big yard, but I can't help it. He fumbled 10 yards down the field. I mean,
he didn't fumble yesterday.
Opening up because of this guy.
He's talking about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying. And one more thing. Here's what I really called about. Okay. Here's the problem, though. So what are there, 2,000 guys in the league, right? Something like that. And they tell us that these guys are the best of the best, the 1%. You know, they make it from high school to college, blah, 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 blah. I mean, we don't have – I mean, this is the best that we can do. I mean, we can't get 10 solid – not even solid, superstar – I mean, 10.
They're kids.
Hold on. What's your name? This is the
Leo,
great
– Leo.
This
is Leo.
This is the greatest comment ever. We can't get 10 superstar players. Tell me one – hold on, Leo. Let me just finish for a second. Tell me one team in the NFL that has 10 superstars on it.
Detroit. Look how many players they have.
Name
the superstars. Let me hear the superstars.
Okay, Calvin Johnson.
Yeah, give me the superstars. Hold on. No. Let
Leo do it. Matt Stafford is a real good quarterback.
He's not a superstar.
He's not a superstar. Go ahead. I mean, that's three. I'll give you Stafford for the sake of arguments.
Okay, it's three.
That's three.
Okay.
No, where's the other seven, guys. Leo? Give me seven. No, the superstars. You said 10 superstars.
Okay, I didn't say that. Okay. Superstars may have been. What I mean is guys, difference makers, playmakers, man. Come on. You know, it's
okay, give me
the Keenan Allens and Phillip Rivers and Gates.
Well, you're talking about one of the best teams in the league.
Hold on. Give me 10 difference makers on the Detroit Lions.
I'll tell you what. DeAndre Levy, you didn't even count him.
Okay, you want to go there, but you know what?
I want to go there. Leo, you went there.
Leo's gone.
Leo used to call my show and argue with me.
This is like throwback week for you.
I blame me for Leo.
Way to go, Pete.
10 superstars.
He had a bunch of different names, too. Leo 1 week, Bobby the next. He had a bunch of different names. I love Leo. Leo was a good caller.
Wow.
He got Tony stirred up. So
when he said 10 superstars, I was like...
Well, no team in the league has 10 superstars.
None.
Nobody.
Chris on the west side talking about yesterday's game. What's up?
And before you go to Chris...
Hold on, Chris.
Don't say anything, Chris. Yep. And you know what? It's not the superstars that make great teams. You have to have great players. It's the supporting... It's the guys around them.
No, it's not.
Yeah. No. Look at Seattle. They have...
No, it's not. It's the stars that make great teams.
No, they're part of great teams, but if you're going to be a truly great team, Detroit's a perfect example. They're the best receiver in the league.
It's the star quarterbacks that make great teams.
Oh, really?
Not the role players around them.
Is Seattle a great team?
We'll see.
No, I'm asking you. They won a Super Bowl last year.
Right.
Are they a great team?
They were great last year.
Okay. They're great last year.
Are they sustainably great?
No, Pete. Listen to me. Answer the question. Tell me the superstars on that team.
Thomas. Sherman, two.
Okay.
I think Bobby Wagner's borderline, but he's not superstar.
Marshawn Lynch is a very good back.
Four. I mean,
my point is they were very good at a lot of places. They're well coached. And
we'll see if it's sustainable. You know Peyton's sustainable. You know Rodgers is sustainable.
I know. Peyton's won one of them.
Huh? Oh, because it's all because of him, right?
No.
But I'll give you a perfect counterpoint. Indianapolis is the antithesis of what you're saying. They have nothing.
And they're not going to win a title, Pete, with that team.
They might. Pete. They have a better chance to win a title than some of these teams that don't have a quarterback.
They're not going to win a title. And you know that as well as
I don't think they're going to win a title either. But
okay, I won. But that team is bad. Can we make this copy facts?
No,
I just won.
Is that team bad?
Play the music, Joe.
Is that a bad football team? Is that a bad football team? Indianapolis?
They're not overly talented.
Does he not make up for everything that they don't have?
Oh, no. The quarterback can cover a lot of sins.
Right.
But to win a championship, you have to have really good, solid players.
You can have 25 solid players. I'll take a superstar quarterback and six other star players, and I'll beat
star.
You.
Oh, yeah, six star.
Back to stars
yeah.
again.
You're ridiculous.
Not superstars, stars.
So where's the dividing line?
Well, people think Russell Wilson's a star.
You and Leo.
I don't think he's a
you
star.
You and Leo can hang
I think,
out.
I think you and Leo Aaron Rodgers is a star.
Start a radio show together.
You and your guy Leo.
You and Leo. Come on, Chris.
Chris on the west side. What's up, Chris?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for having me on.
You got it.
Pete, JP, Tony, what's going on?
What's up?
I wish I had a cooler name like Papa Louie, but I don't. So
or Leo.
Or Leo. You got it. Hey, I'm just going to be real quick here. Yesterday, I stopped by, and I think JP took a picture of my brother and I in the pink shirts, and we were in the suits.
Yes.
There, and I just wanted to send a shout-out to the Jaguars, the fan base, and everybody for showing a lot of support yesterday in our pink shirts and the breast cancer awareness. And this year marks 10 years for our mom being in remission, so it was a big deal for us.
It's awesome.
And, good to hear, man.
Congratulations,
great
man.
To hear.
Yeah, we're really happy for that, and I appreciate it. So just wanted to give a shout-out. We're going to continue wearing those suits, so we hope to see everybody out there, take a picture or two with you, and keep this thing going. So we're having a blast, and thanks for having me on the best radio show out there.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, man.
You guys had head-to-toe Jaguar print suits on.
Like kind of like Dumb and Dumber suits?
Yeah, except Jaguar prints.
It is similar to that Dumb and Dumber. And by the way, I can't wait to see that movie coming out here soon. But but yeah, we did it sitting around thinking, how can we help to support or bring a little bit of flair to this thing? And so far, we've been pretty successful with it. Just good feedback and just having a good time out there. So, and what better venue than a Jaguars game to do that? So,
got it, man. Hey, thanks for the call tonight, Chris. We appreciate it, Chris. Came in suits yesterday.
Like
that's cool.
Fantastic. A couple more calls before we break here. John in Keystone wants to talk defense. John, what's up?
Hey, yeah, Tony, you can blame Pete for me, too.
That's right. He used to call my show, too.
it's really good for the guys that just called. I like that. The thing is Pete was talking about the suits. I mean, I'm hearing myself talk, so it's kind of hard. But I'm going to try to ignore that. Pete was trying to say that how watch Seattle tonight, how the linebackers play and stuff, is it maybe worth trying to play that type of defense with not quite the personnel that we got yet? And because I mean, the guy wide open in the end that nobody even covered. I just can't understand it.
Thanks for the call.
That was a bust, supposedly.
Yeah, it's got to be.
Somebody texted me and said it was Posluszny's bust.
Wow, inside information.
No, it wasn't from somebody on there. I'm not going to tell you who it was from because you'll get all up in arms. But somebody said it was Posluszny. But are they trying to play Seattle's defense and don't have the speed to play the defense? Probably. But that's part of the growing pain. That's what you can't fix everything overnight. Okay.
Looked pretty good playing it yesterday.
Yeah, but they'll fix in the offseason. They will fix the linebacker problem. It'll be a faster, more athletic group.
You do that through the draft? Do you do that through free agency?
I do it through the draft. Young, fast, young, fast, young, fast, and cheap. Young, fast, and cheap. Then you can spend money on positions, different positions, if you have to.
I wanted to bring up this Blake Bortles yesterday. Gus Bradley said in his press conference today that there were, I think, 22 runs called, and Blake checked out of a number of those into passing situations. I think he was like 5 of 8 in those changes. The Jags only ran 15 times yesterday in this game, and Gus would like to run a little bit more. What do you make of the young quarterback making decisions like that. They're giving him the offense and the freedom to do that. That's what they want from him.
That's
right?
A sign going forward that he's going to be it. You want that guy making those checks. There are a lot of young quarterbacks that get in this league and can't make those checks. Now, is he always checking to the right call? Who knows?
No.
They know. But
no.
We completed a lot of them. So.
No, some good, some bad. He's a rookie.
One of them was the interception.
That was probably the wrong one.
Which one? At the end of the
last game?
No, was
six.
That on him?
Yes.
Because it was.
Yes.
It looked like two receivers.
It was. He should have kept the run up.
Based on the defense.
Based on
the
defense.
But, okay, did the receiver run a wrong route?
No, did not.
Why were they both in the same spot then? Something happened over there.
It was the wrong. I mean, watching the tape, I don't know about the route combination and all that, but it's a very I don't want to say it's a basic check. It's, you know, if you have six in the box, you run the ball.
Right.
And they had six in the box, and he whether he got confused, made a mistake, whatever, he checked pass into a coverage that you shouldn't cut check that route combination. Listen, I said it when it happened, and you've talked about this, Pete. He's a rookie. He got 5 of 8 completions. He made a mistake, and you and I agree on this. From the beginning. If you're going to make those mistakes, you want to learn from them, this is the year to do it. Not when you're, 10-5 and you got to win a game to go to the playoffs making those mistakes.
Let me ask you this. Was 3rd-and-2, I think it was the opening drive, and they threw it, or 3rd-and-1, they threw it on 3rd-and-1. Was that a check?
No, I don't think so.
No? Well, that didn't work either.
Hit the receiver in the hands.
Yeah, it was behind.
It wasn't.
Which one am I thinking? I think
it was high.
Yeah.
But
he could have caught it.
Yeah.
Didn't work.
Okay, but Pete, don't be that guy, Pete.
Didn't work. But that's the only thing
don't
that matters.
Don't be that guy.
End all, be all.
And guess what? If they'd have run it and it didn't work, you'd have said, why didn't they play action pass there?
No, not a.
Yes,
not
you
a, it was only. It wasn't it like a foot?
No, it was a full yard.
Was it?
Yes.
It's like last night in the Bengals game, Hugh Jackson got down to the 4-yard line or something, ran it three straight times and kicked a field goal. Now, that kind of thing infuriates me.
Boy, I didn't see the Patriots putting on the Bengals like that.
That was it. Ambush.
Ooh. Let's go back to the phone lines. 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Matt at Fleming Island wants to talk about superstars. Matt, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going tonight? I'm just calling in regards to the caller earlier. Y'all gave a few different names to that he calls in every week or so. And I was directing this towards Tony. Every team in the league, there's a, for lack of a better word, superstars probably, but very productive players. And each team, I mean, besides the Jags and potentially the Raiders, there's 3, 4, 5 guys that are extremely productive on their teams. And the Jags really haven't had that.
None?
Jones-Drew is probably our last most productive player.
So you're just – let me ask you a question just so I make sure I want to answer correctly. Are you saying just skill guys? Or anyone?
Yes, skill guys, yes.
Okay, because I was going to say, there are some productive guys on the field right now. They're pretty dang good.
Yes, I'm
playing at
I'm
a really high level.
Okay, you're talking about the last superstar, supposed superstar that they had here. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
And it was Maurice Jones-Drew in his prime.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Absolutely. And I think he's our last most productive player in comparison to other teams. For instance, even the team playing tonight. The Redskins, you have on the offensive side of the ball, you have...
Who's a superstar?
Pierre Garçon.
He's a superstar?
Absolutely. You have
no, they're not superstars. They're good players.
What? Did you just say Pierre Garçon's a superstar?
1,000-plus yard receiver.
It doesn't matter. That's not a superstar. He's a good player. He's a good player.
It's a passing
he's
league.
He's a good player.
1,000-plus yard
okay.
He's a good player.
Okay.
There's not a... No, I'll tell you what. On the Washington Redskins... The guy that might be a superstar closest to it is probably Trent Williams.
The best player on
Alfred Morris.
Alfred Morris is better than Pierre Garçon.
I agree on the Trent Williams comment, but
no, those guys don't count. He only wants the skill guys, Pete.
I'm talking about guys.
The guys who actually matter don't count.
I'm talking about guys getting the ball.
Hold on, let me ask you a question. Whatever your name is.
This is Matt from Fleming Island, Tony.
How many before Percy Harvin came back healthy, who had nothing to do with the Seattle Seahawks getting to the playoffs last year, tell me the superstars on the offense.
Last year for the Seahawks would be Russell Wilson.
He's not a superstar. Go look at his number. He's not a superstar. He's a productive player.
He's about there.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Russell Wilson was a superstar?
Yeah, he's a superstar.
Oh, no, he's not. Superstars, there's only like five or six superstar quarterbacks. You're crazy.
You watch sports television too much. And
yes,
listen
he
to
does.
Thanks for the call tonight. Matt just got hammered by these two guys.
I mean,
he's a game manager, Russell Wilson.
My whole point of saying this is, first of all, if you want to look at the offensive side of the ball at this team right now at the skill position, they have three rookie receivers that play predominantly, are going to. Marquise Lee, Allen Robinson, and Allen Hurns.
Maybe we'll
want well, her, but Marquise will be back this week.
Somebody's going to get on the field, right?
But, I mean, he'll be back this week. You have a rookie quarterback. Your starting tight end is not there. You have a rookie tight end playing. You have two rookie offensive linemen starting, and you potentially have a rookie running back who's going to take the majority or a lot of reps.
That's what this season's about.
That's my point. It's impossible to have superstars when you have that many guys all your skill positions.
His point is accurate. They haven't had a superstar offensive player, and I use that term loosely with Maurice Jones-Drew because I don't think he was a superstar either. He was a very, very good player. But since...
No, that's fair. Listen, I'm not trying to make up excuses for this franchise the last 10 years.
When your team was good.
How many superstars at the skill positions did we have? Superstars.
Two. Jimmy and Fred. Now, you were a superstar for your position. Leon wasn't a superstar, but he was darn good.
He was
Mark was like, good.
Really good. So Mark was
five.
Really good.
Keenan was really good.
And Keenan had six guys who were
six
really good.
Really good players. I mean, that's, you know, this team hasn't had that.
Well, we went 14-2.
And then choked in the playoff game.
You had to bring that part up.
Wow.
I mean, there's nothing to say.
There's nothing to say. That's what happened. They were the better team. They lost.
Okay, I have no comeback. No comeback.
All right, Jaguars. Go along in the fuel-efficient Ford Escape. See your Southern Ford dealer today. Proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ford, go further. Prisco throwing haymakers. He'll throw some more in the Copy Facts face-off when we return. Buscelli versus Prisco and Jaguars Monday continues after this on Jaguars Radio.
And you know what? It's not the superstars that make great teams. You have to have great players. It's the supporting. It's the guys around them.
No, it's not.
Yeah, no.
Might be my favorite moment on the show yet this year. Is that a win for the face-off?
Just for me.
It's Jaguars Monday.
And I proved I was right.
No, you didn't.
You have named one team just with a couple superstars that wins. I mean, wins it all. It's the best team that wins the Super Bowl every year, Pete. You know that.
Well, the Packers were the best team when Aaron Rodgers won?
Well, yeah. Very good defense.
Quarterbacks, man. Sustainable
success. Yeah, just like last year. And the year before.
Aberration year.
And the year before.
What?
Oh, the Baltimore Ravens?
Flacco's pretty darn good in the postseason now.
Oh, yeah. He's a superstar.
Go look at the superstar.
No,
he's
I'm asking
a superstar.
Question. Okay,
he's not a superstar.
Thank you. Win again.
No.
Play the music. Just one.
This is the Copy Facts face-off.
And where were they last year? Did they make the postseason?
That's my point.
Did the Ravens make the postseason?
No, because they weren't a complete team.
Because they're not sustainable.
All right, here we go. This is the Copy Facts face-off. This is Jaguars Monday. If you don't know by now, it's Pete Prisco. That's Tony Buscelli. I'm JP Shadrick. The topic tonight, by the way, the season record is Prisco 3, Buscelli 2 in the Copy Facts
face-off. I should get a win just for Arizona State winning, too, just to torment.
A half of
yeah.
a point. Okay,
like a
so you
half.
Got 3.5
So if
to
we're
two.
Tied at the end of the year, you win.
I'll be honest with you. I didn't think they were going to win, so I deserve a tie.
The winner gets his alma mater's fight song.
Played. Yeah, I tried to bet you last week, and you wouldn't take the bet.
I know, because I didn't think they were.
The topic was brought up on the show last week.
Meaning you should lose a half point because of that.
No.
Was the way the Jaguars handled Blake Bortles part of the reason for his early success so far? You guys brought it up last week, and you said, let's make it the Copy Facts face-off this week, and we have. So, was the way the Jags handled Blake Bortles early in the season, the reason for
go
his
ahead,
early
Pete.
Success.
No, you're going first.
No,
Tony,
you go
first last
go
week,
right ahead,
and then you
Tony.
Talked loudly, and he gave you the win, so go ahead.
Listen, we talked about it at length, and there's two schools of thought. And I probably would have played him earlier after what I saw in the preseason. But I do believe because of the way they handled it from the start, from draft day, when they came out draft day and said Chad Henne is our starter, that they took a lot of pressure off of him in the preparation to get him to the point when he was going to be the starter. Go back and think through that process. There wasn't the national media around, you know, him being the starter and the Johnny Manziel and all the Teddy Bridgewater stuff competing for the job and all these different young quarterbacks that were immediately put into the spotlight before they might have been ready, not just physically but mentally, and it becomes a distraction. There were zero distractions for Blake Bortles leading up to when he became the starter because of the way Gus Bradley did it and the way Dave Caldwell did it. And it allowed him to improve both physically and mentally under the radar. And I believe it did have something to do with his early success that he has had, not only just as a two-game starter, but through the preseason because how the whole thing was set up. And if you talk to Blake Bortles, he'll tell you the same thing. It was a very pressure-free learning environment. Wasn't trying to compete against Chad Henne for the starting job. It was collaborative, and he became a better player and was more prepared when he became the starter, which allowed him to perform at a higher level.
Mr. Frisco?
You didn't want to thrust him into that media spotlight that is the Jacksonville market, right? I mean, you know, everybody comes down here. The national media would have come down here and hit the city, and he wouldn't have been able to practice. There would have been so many media requests, and he would have been swarmed.
It's not just the media, Pete.
Johnny Manziel-type building.
It's in the building. There was no conversations about the locker room, who they want to be the starter.
Did he not have – see, now he's
– You're interrupting. You're defending.
You're getting defensive.
Tony, chill for a second. Relax, as Aaron Rodgers would say.
Again, back to his point about they did it the right way to keep the attention off of him. Look, they could have announced from day one he was going to be the starting quarterback. The attention wouldn't have come. It's Jacksonville. You don't get attention unless they win. When they win, they'll get attention. As it is right now, it would have been a blip on the little ticker on ESPN. That's the reality of it. Okay? So it would have been a distraction. Did they handle it the right way? No. They should have played him. The minute they signed him, the minute they drafted him, they said, this kid's going to be our starter week one unless he is absolutely awful. And he wasn't absolutely awful. And then he went to on the field in practice and got better and better. And then in the scrimmage, there was no doubt who was the better quarterback. It was Blake Bortles. And then in the preseason, there was even less doubt who was the better quarterback. It was Blake Bortles. Did he start on opening day? No. They started Chad Henne, and it was a disaster for three games. So what did they do?
They set him
back three games. Now the process starts all over again, and next thing you know, you go to San Diego, and for a half, you throw the kid in there, and you compete. He lifts everybody's play up. They realize, you know what? They got a quarterback for the future, and a quarterback now who can make plays down the field. Against Pittsburgh, a supposed team that can move the football, defense plays better. Why? Because they have a quarterback they believe in. Look, they can talk until they're blue in the face. If you ask him right now and put him on a lie detector and you strapped him in and you said, hey, guys, should you have started Blake Bortles in week one? And if they said no, the thing would go,
no, you're wrong, Pete. You're dead. You are dead wrong. Because you're looking at now what we know instead of looking. You're not going back from day one.
Was he the best in the scrimmage?
Let me finish my whole point. When we went out there the first day of OTAs.
No. He wasn't.
No, because he allowed, and you asked Blake, you sit down with Blake and talk about the relationship that was developed between him and Chad because of the situation that was created by Gus Bradley and Dave Caldwell.
So the relationship stinks now?
And no, because
he took his job, he must stink.
No. The learning process from the beginning until the time he started was very valuable for Blake Bortles and allowed him.
So he would
not forget the physical. We knew he could
do
the physical.
More reps with the ones.
The mental aspect.
He would have got more reps with the ones.
No, a perfect example is that his comfort of being on the field, checking out of plays, recognizing coverages, seeing things because he was allowed to sit back and glean from Chad. And all I have to say is go ask Blake Bortles. And Blake will tell you, and strap him to the lie detector test.
And if you put him in a lie detector test, hey, Chad, I mean, hey, Blake, could you believe that they weren't starting you behind that guy?
No, he would say, if you asked him, was this the best thing, and did this help you and make you better prepared for your start, he would say yes.
Yeah,
and that's all it is, because the question was, did this help him in the process as a starter? And he would say yes.
He should have been starting from day one. Day one.
That wasn't the question.
Day one.
Wasn't the question.
Yes, it was the question.
No, the question was this. Was the way the Jaguars handled Bortles part of the reason for his early success?
Yes.
No.
Was the question.
It would have helped him, too. He would have had it even better in the third game. He would have had it better in the third game. he would have been even that much better. Now he's going to go into the third game. He's only got two starts. He would have had five starts. He would have been that much better this week. Yes, he should have played right from the beginning, and they know it, and you know it, and everybody in this city knows it, and I'm right again.
No, you're not,
yes,
Pete.
I am.
The question is, did it help?
Right
us?
Again.
The question,
hey, poll the city. Should he have played in week one?
Now we're going to poll the fans.
And they all
fan.
Agree with
now
me.
Now we're polling the fans.
Everybody call in, and on Twitter we'll
now
do
now we're
it.
Polling the fans.
Great
and
idea.
Fans,
really?
You know
what?
That's what you're doing,
no,
Pete.
No, and you know what? You know I'm right.
No.
You know I'm right.
The question
right
was.
So they had to baby him in? That's basically what you're saying.
No. They allowed him to learn and become better. You guys just look at the physical aspect. What about the mental aspect?
Your time is up.
I know what song you're playing because I won. Just sorry for there's no way.
No, you said pull the fans. That was your losing thing.
No, there's no way. There's no way he won that. I'm sorry.
Fine.
Tony Boselli has tied up his season standings 3-3.
Anybody who thinks he won that argument is way off base.
Guess what?
You're
doing fine.
All that matters is the guy pushing the buttons thought I won.
He feels sorry for you. He wants
no,
to
he
keep
doesn't.
It close.
No.
Yes, he does. He wants to keep it close. You know what's amazing about that is deep down, you don't really believe it either. You would have been, if you put you on a lie detector, you would have zapped.
No, I wouldn't have.
You don't think he should have started in week
No, that wasn't the question. I would have started him, but the question was, did the process help him? Yes, it did.
Wait, so if he would have started him.
That was the question.
The question was the process. Did it help him? I agree it did help him.
I disagree with you. It would have been better if he played week one.
We'll take a timeout on Jaguars Monday. We'll look around the National Football League when we come back. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
The Jaguars Women's Association presents Football 101 for Women coming up Thursday, October 16th, 6:30 to 9. The doors open at 5:30 in the West Touchdown Club at Everbank Field. Interactive workshop designed to teach the technical side of football. Q&A with players, scouts, and coaches.
Are you going to be there, JP, given the radio broadcast side?
Well, we've got a show that night. So I'll be in here for Jaguars Thursday.
Because I know you love the ladies.
I'll probably go up there. And
how was the Clevelander on Saturday night?
It was pretty cool, actually. Yeah, it was not bad. Good little. Can I finish this, though?
Oh, I thought
promoting
you were
done. No, that's okay. Jed Fish, Bob Babich, Todd Wash will all present. A few players will be there as well. Cocktails, appetizers, $100 tickets, jaguars.com/2014NFL101. The proceeds benefit Baptist Health's Hill Breast Center.
That's great.
Coming up. Couple
you
weeks.
Know what the I in Boselli stands for.
Interrupter.
Yeah.
There he is.
That's what I do, baby. Bad at radio.
What is
just
the
ask
I,
Tony Brown.
What does the I in Prisco stand for?
Idiot.
That's good.
Oh, you mentioned the Clevelander.
Yeah, yes, that's how it was. You ignored me.
The Roar Party on Saturday night. Pretty well attended. It was actually a little cold out because of the wind.
Oh, yeah.
Saturday night.
Cold. But, it was cold here Saturday night?
Yeah.
They showed windy. The new pictures of the...
Yeah, the new calendar was
new
out.
New calendar was out.
That. Yeah. So look for it soon.
Do you have your favorite month?
Bank Field. Not yet. I haven't seen the actual calendar itself. So
I know you have your favorite month now because it's
right,
been on that month for the entire year.
That's okay. It's all right. Anyway, let's move along and look around the National
move
Football
around. Move on.
Love this music.
HGH testing
yeah.
starts, what, today, right? Yeah. Well, some of the details.
How many guys are going to get popped? Pete?
Eight get for team every week or other week. So you're not going to – it'll cycle in. You'll be tested once a month.
And it won't be game day. It won't be –
right. Yeah. So, I mean, how many get popped?
8 a week.
Per team, but you'll – like different teams. So, you know, it's, you'll probably get tested once a month maybe. Or
each guy?
Than, no. Less than that. Once,
if it's
every, a, once every couple months.
If it's 8 guys per team.
Right. But not every team every week.
Right. So you, if you're – so it's going to take you 32 weeks to circle
yeah,
back around.
Probably be once every couple months.
Each guy, no.
So there's going to be more testing done. There's not. It's not like one team's going to get it. You're going to get a bunch of different teams on a regular basis. It's just you won't be, you know what I mean? There's going to be more than one tester.
I understand that.
Yeah.
And there's a limit to how many times each player can be tested, right?
How many guys do you think get caught? Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know enough about HGH. I mean, that wasn't even around when I played.
Otherwise, you would have taken it.
No.
I would have.
You probably already
I mean,
do.
You need to.
Look, my guess is you probably take it right now.
5 foot
if
two.
If you piled.
Are you taking HGH right now?
No. If you put $15 million in front of me and said, You take HGH? I take it.
Even with the chance of being suspended?
Well, now I might not. I find something else that I was tested for, like they were when they were taking HGH.
So is it a blood test?
Yeah, I think so. Everything's an angle now, right? You were around the league. Guys will always find an angle.
No, but is it blood test? Are they doing blood tests?
I think it's blood and urine test, yes.
Well, I didn't think they had a urine test for HGH.
That's what I read today.
Yeah, both.
They're doing both.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a big step.
I like it.
The Cleveland.
No, it's good. I mean,
fans don't care. I mean, here's the thing. In football, fans don't care.
They really don't. It's amazing.
It's amazing.
Baseball, baseball, they want to kill you if you get tested.
Right.
In football, it's like, see you in 4 weeks.
Right. They don't care.
It's amazing.
Fans don't care.
Baseball's changed a lot, too. I mean, since it's been cleaned out, it's a different game.
Is it not as fun to watch?
It depends on baseball purists.
I mean,
how many baseball purists in this world?
Not many.
Okay. What I can't figure out
is that why there's empty stadiums all over the.
Chicks dig the long balls.
Is that why there's empty stadiums all over the Major League Baseball? No, there's no one ever at the games. And now they're playing their playoff games on Fox Sport.
Right.
I can't even watch them. But the other thing about. But here's what I can't figure out. The pitchers were juicing too, so.
And that's the thing. If
bigger
you asked,
advantage the hitters, obviously.
But if you asked a baseball player coming up, if it was the same argument you just had, if you could be on a major league team for X amount of time, you know what? I'm going to do what I can to get there, and if everybody else is doing it, I'm going to do it too. And that's what a lot of guys' mindset was.
It was not against the rules. It's the law,
right?
But it was not against the rules of baseball to take steroids,
right?
Yeah. So that was that whole deal.
Which I don't understand how they're not allowed in the Hall of Fame now.
That's a baseball writer's thing.
No, but it was not technically cheating.
Right. But then some of those guys could.
I'm not endorsing it. It was wrong. My whole point is baseball was behind the times.
Yeah, but some of those guys continued to take him even after they were ruled illegal by the rules of baseball.
Right.
Yeah. No, listen, it's wrong. I mean, it was baseball handled it poorly. Which I'm saying, I'm glad the NFL is doing the testing now.
See, and my theory on it is, guys will find an angle to find something else. That's just the way it is.
That's the way it always works.
That's what they say. The cheaters are always ahead of the testers.
Yeah.
Or they adapt to the policy and find a way around it.
Yeah. Right.
Although, I'll say this, in baseball, you don't see much anymore.
No, they cleaned it up. They had to because it was so prevalent.
They're taking something else then.
Well, if they are, the numbers aren't. They're not getting the same production.
Right. Everybody's taking it.
Oh,
it evens out.
Let's get to some games from Sunday.
Pete, you'd been if you played in the NFL, you'd have been the biggest cheater.
Yeah.
You would have cheated and cheated.
And been dirty and filthy and nasty and done everything I possibly could to stay in that league for as long as I could. Cash that check.
Because if it's good for Pete Prisco. It's good for him.
That's right.
That's the way it works.
It's the way of the world, baby.
It was good for the Cleveland Browns yesterday. Not early, though. They rallied from a 25-point deficit, beat the Titans, biggest comeback in team history, largest comeback by a road team in league history yesterday, 29-28.
They can send Ken Wisenhut a thank you note. See what he did?
No. I was actually doing a game here.
Fourth down, late in the game. He's winning by, what'd they lose, 29-28.
That's so
right. He's 28-22. Fourth down in inches from his own 42. He goes for it.
He did not.
Yes, he did.
How much time was left?
About 3 minutes.
Oh, you kick it deep and play defense.
Yeah, 2.5 minutes, something like that. Yeah, especially with Brian Hoyer on the other side. Now, Hoyer's played well, but if you're going to beat me, you're driving down to get a touchdown, go beat me.
Still Brian Hoyer.
He went for it, got stuffed, challenged it, didn't overturn it because they never overturn spots, and then, or rarely do they, and then Hoyer went down to a touchdown pass to beat him.
That's bad. And Ken Wisenhut's a good coach.
I'm surprised
by that.
Speaking of another good coach who made a bad coaching decision like that yesterday, Mike Smith.
What'd he do? I didn't watch that game either.
27-20. 4.5 minutes to go in the game.
Down. They're down, yeah.
4.5 minutes to go in the game. 27-20 with a timeout and the 2-minute warning on his own 29-yard line. He goes for it on 4th and inches or 4th and a foot or whatever.
And how much time was left?
4.5 minutes.
Oh. Punt it away.
You gave him
go
a field
get a
goal.
Stop.
You gave him a field goal.
It's over.
Over.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bad decision. He defended it. I love Mike Smith to death. I was at a game once where he went for it on 4th down in the playoff game against the Saints. And remember that? And it cost him. And I was there covering it. And I went in and I said, hey, Mike, you know I'm ripping you for that, right? And he goes, you got a job to do. I understand. That's one thing about Mike Smith. He never gets mad at that guy. He got ripped for that one today too. It's a bad decision. It's bad coaching.
Yeah, I would.
And he's a good coach.
He is
Ken Whitmer's a good coach. They made bad decisions.
Yeah, they're good coaches. I would not. I would disagree with that call as well.
But because of that, the Giants are now 3-2, and that's the team you think is going to win the division.
They're going to win the NFC East.
It's vintage Tom Coughlin. His best coaching jobs are done when nobody's.
And they're pretty good defensively.
And Pierre Paul's getting back to being Pierre Paul. And Robert Ayers is good. And they got.
And how about Andre Williams, the running back, playing well?
Tough kid. And they got a linebacker in Williams from South Florida that can run. He's playing really well. The corners are playing well.
The offense is starting to click.
And the line is playing better. Beatty took the money last year and played like garbage. He's playing well.
And Pugh's playing well. They ripped. They got ripped for taking him.
Would you agree with me that Tom Coughlin's a better coach when people don't expect his team to do much? The history says so.
He's a great coach when the heat is on and there's a lot of naysayer. He does a good job of rallying the troops.
Like here in 96, they wasn't supposed to be a good team.
Nope.
They became a good team. In 99, they were a good team, and they didn't win it. In New York, when the Giants
– I mean, the 2 years they won the Super Bowl, they were 9-7.
And they were a wild card team and went on the
road. Backed
in
both times, yeah.
So he's good in that role. This is his role right here. They play the Eagles Sunday night.
The Eagles are 4-1. They beat the Rams. Defense and special teams scored again, and a defensive stop won that game for the Eagles. The offense,
and their offense
still
isn't
not
done,
quite
hasn't
ready.
Done anything in 2 weeks.
Right.
I went back and watched Nick Foles last week against San Francisco. His mechanics are awful. Awful.
I saw the photos you put on Twitter with his feet going the other way.
He's throwing to the sideline and his feet are facing this way. He's throwing to the middle and his feet are facing that way. He's throwing off balance, backing up. And some of that has to do, I'll give him this, some of that has to do with a bad offensive line. But his mechanics have regressed in a big way. The other thing, they'll never admit this because that's not what Chip Kelly will do. They missed DeSean Jackson.
They have no one to stretch the
Nobody.
Field.
Macklin's having a good year, and he's actually making some big plays for him. But Riley Cooper's one of the worst receivers in the league right now. He's awful. They paid him money. But Riley Cooper used to benefit because DeSean Jackson would go down the field. They're not a good team right now. And they're not good on defense at all. You guys saw that in the opening week. I think the Giants are a better team than they are.
Andrew Luck is good, of course. Colts have won 3 straight. They're 3-2. Went over the Ravens on Sunday. He did it with his feet, though.
Big Thursday night game, too, against Houston.
No, I don't think Houston's that good.
Yeah, Houston, no, but it's a big game.
Yeah.
Well, in this division, yes.
And Houston played well against Dallas.
Yeah, they did. They were losing 17-7 late in the game in Dallas. Yeah, I give them credit for that. But Andrew Luck equalized. He balances everything out.
Really
it's unbelievable
good.
How good
I go
he
back
is.
To my point. 3 weeks ago when I said he is in the same category as the big five, or big four.
He's getting there.
Rodgers, Manning, Breeze.
The difference is those guys have his skin on the wall.
Yeah, and Brady. I mean.
They all have skin on the wall.
Is he a man crush guy for you yet, Pete?
Man crush. Pete.
Oh, I love Pete, that's my style of quarterback.
Pete has pictures of Andrew Luck on his wall.
No, he doesn't.
He's a fat head.
I don't
on his
rush
wall.
Him up. I'm not rushing him into the big five like you are.
He puts it on his ceiling, so as he lays there in bed, he looks at him.
We had the argument, didn't we not? Did we not have the argument that you rushed him into the big four? He's not there yet.
I don't have a man crush on him like you.
Yes, you do. If you think he's in the big five, if you think the four.
Have you ever been to Pete's house?
I have not. No.
In his room on his ceiling, he has fat heads of Breeze, Rodgers, Manning, Brady, and he just put Luck up there as he lays in bed at night and looks at him.
Why were you in his room?
He gave me a tour.
Hey, by the way, I would get a fat head at Tony, but they said his head's too fat to make a fat head.
That was bad. That was stupid, Pete. Wow. That was one of your worst ones.
Speaking of the top five.
That was weak, Pete. Do you have
a fat head of yourself?
No.
I bet you do.
I don't have a
I would. I would bet he
I
has
wish
a fat
I did.
Head.
He probably
I
does.
I don't.
Somewhere
I really don't.
In the
I don't have a fat
right
head.
Right next to the College Hall of Fame poster.
Your sons might have bought you like a fat head of yourself.
First of all, if there was a fat head of me in my house, there'd be dart holes in it for my kids throwing them at them.
I think one of your sons or somebody. For
especially
like
after last night's film session I had with my oldest son. Not very good.
He wasn't good last week.
Well, offensive line didn't play
Was he
well.
Good?
He's a very good player, but
was
I, was
he
not,
good that night?
I was not happy with the
But was
overall.
He good that night?
To my expectations, no.
This is interesting.
Marv Marinovich Pacelli over here.
But in fairness, it's not fair.
Hey, Marv.
No, I let him eat McDonald's.
USC connection. One of the top five, of course, Peyton Manning. Throws touchdown number 500 and a few more, and the Broncos rolled over the Cardinals. Their first loss of the year for the Cardinals.
They're a good football team.
That is a very good football team.
And they losing their quarterback. If they don't lose the quarterback, Drew Stanton, they play with Denver throughout the fourth quarter. Logan Thomas came in, and they couldn't do anything.
Well, they also lost – well, he threw a touchdown pass, but it was a lucky – but he also lost Calais Campbell in that game.
And Peterson got dinged up.
Yeah. They have a lot of issues. They lost Shaughnessy, too. He's a good football player. So, Arizona is a good football team, but they're suffering a lot of injuries.
You know what they have is they have a good football coach. Bruce Arians.
Darn good.
How it took so long for him to be a head coach, there's got to be 31 other teams that look back over the last 10 years of the history – I'm saying, of all, you think about all the turnover in the league of coaches in the last 10 years. A number of them have been turned over multiple times. And they got to be kicking themselves that they did not call Bruce Arians because he is a dang good football coach.
He has the right temperament for it.
And it took Chuck Pagano getting leukemia
right
for anyone to even give him a chance to do it.
And Bruce was a head coach in college at Temple years ago.
He is a heck of a football coach.
They're a good team.
They're a good team. They need to get Carson Palmer back. Yeah. And I don't know if that – what's the word on the nerve?
Supposedly, you know, they say it fires or something when you have a nerve, and it fired last week. So he might be back this week.
Yeah, that'd be big for them.
We always talk about the 49ers each week, but they needed a fake punt from their own 29-yard line early in the fourth to beat the Chiefs 22-17. Dawson hit 5 field goals in that game. And the Niners...
The quarterback's not good passer
but
yet.
But I keep reading more and more about that locker room, Pete. And it's something you said early in the year, and it's just festering.
What's
more
the
more
latest? I didn't hear anything after the game. Was there more?
Well, Glazer reported he's not going to be back next year. I think it's pretty much a done deal that he's not coming back.
No matter the outcome of the season.
Where is he going? Michigan? No, Miami. He's not going to college.
Miami?
Yeah. They tried to get him once before.
You know, there was some talk of a trade that the team would trade draft picks to get him. Would you trade? Would you trade if you're a team? Would you trade a first round pick?
No.
A second round pick. Second round picks.
No.
Me either. I wouldn't either. I think he's a good coach. I think he wears on people.
How many Super Bowls did the Jets get from trading for Bill Parcells?
And how? Well, the Bucks got one.
That was a really good team before. I mean, I'm not taking anything away. John Gruden's a very good football coach. He did it at the Raiders.
Tony had
but,
been.
I mean, they were a dang good football team when they got rid of Tony Dungy.
But to answer your question about the locker room, there are problems there, and they can talk to the GM and the coach don't like each other. That's a problem. It's just a bad situation. And here's the other thing about Jim Harbaugh. Yeah, he's won. He's had success. But he didn't have one. There isn't one he can put. There's no skin on that wall. He doesn't have – for all the talk about Jim Harbaugh –
his brother took it from him.
Right. He doesn't have one.
That's our look around the National Football League in Week 5. You can buy a single game pass for the JTA Stadium Shuttle Service to and from Jaguars games and easily avoid parking hassles. For locations, prices, and parking lot directions, visit JTAFLA.com. We'll wrap up Jaguars Monday after this on Jaguars Radio. Final segment of Jaguars Monday. J.P. Shadrick, Pete Prisco, Tony Boselli. If you want your photo or tweet on the massive Jaguars video boards, use the hashtag JagsGameDayLive and be part of the game experience in a couple of weeks. Social Drive brought to you by the Nimnick family of dealerships.
You know, yeah. are you done?
Go ahead, yes. I am done now.
Tony. I want to make sure.
I'm finished.
Tony, interrupt us.
Go ahead, Tony.
Pete, I got a text from a Jaguar staffer, a good friend of both of ours. Who took exception with your point that MJD was not a superstar.
For a period of time, he was a really, really, really good player. Superstar.
Yeah, let's define superstar.
Has to span like more than 3 or 4 years. Was he a star player for 3 or 4 years? Yes. Is he a superstar?
Was he a top five player at his position?
For a couple years, yeah.
For 3 years, I'd say. Yeah. So he's a superstar for 3 years.
But I don't know. A superstar. Okay, what so is a everybody's superstar? A top five player at their position for a certain period of time is a superstar?
For that
period?
I
think they're
that
star
period.
Players. They're not superstars.
Okay, star player. He was a star.
No, he was a star player.
He was a great
player.
Not
a player. Superstar. Superstars are – Peyton Manning's a superstar. Okay? Aaron Rodgers is a superstar. J.J. Watt is a superstar.
Oh, he's really good.
Adrian Peterson was a superstar.
I'll give you one. Robert Quinn had 20 sacks last year. Was as good, 19 sacks was as good as anybody I saw play a defensive end. He has no sacks this year. Is he a superstar?
He's zero this year?
Zippo.
How's that happen?
Good question. He got handled by Tyron Smith in that game, but All right, Tyron Smith is a star player. Is he a superstar? He's not a superstar.
Not yet, but he's a young player. He has a chance to be.
Well, who are superstars? I mean, when you
I guess my point is, whenever we start having those conversations about guys, it is we overuse, and I'm guilty of it. We overuse the term great. I mean, with players in general, and so if you look at the context of how we describe star or superstar, I mean, we're kind of getting a little too specific on that. Mojo fits in that realm of great players when he played for that period of time.
He was a really, really, really.
No, he was
really,
a great running.
He
back
was a
for
star
three
runner
yeah.
for 3 or 4 years, but superstars. It's hard to give running backs the superstar label too because they don't stay around. You know what I'm saying? With Adrian Peterson,
he was
yeah. was a superstar.
Yeah,
he was a superstar.
Oh, he was unbelievable.
Yeah.
But there was a year there. You could argue that Mojo was right there for a year or two with Adrian as one of the top backs in that league.
Yes,
that's my whole point.
Right.
That's why I mean.
Yeah, I wouldn't argue.
And
that.
So I would agree with the
I just
text
think the
I
window
you,
to you be considered
very,
a superstar.
You're very critical of Mojo.
No, I wasn't. To be considered a superstar.
And I know you don't like him.
No, I like him.
He's going to be hear it too.
I'm oh, sure he'll and he'll tell Twitter. Me. He'll tell Twitter. Me. He'll argue. Get ready. I used to argue with him all the time. But to be a superstar, I think you have to be more than 3 years at the top of your position.
Okay.
Monday Night Football tonight, Seahawks at the Redskins.
I'm looking forward to this game.
You are?
Yeah.
Why?
I like watching Seattle play. I like how they play the game.
I want to see if
I like how they're physical. I like their just style of play. I enjoy it.
Seeing Kirk Cousins' face last week against the Giants, I hope he wears an extra pair of underwear.
Really? Did he wet himself?
Yeah.
Soil his tights?
Everybody, talk about a league that rushes people and quarterbacks. They rush
Joe Theismann said
Kirk Cousins. I mean, you know, sometimes if you're a backup quarterback in this league, the best thing for you is never to play. Because then everybody thinks you're the greatest thing in the world. Then you play and you become who you are. I'm a big believer. I stole that from Parcells because Parcells said it. You are what you are in this league. You are what you are. You can have 5 games where you look good. If you play 20, those 5 games are going to be an aberration. You're going to be the other 15 are going to be who you are. You're not. He's not any good, okay? I don't care what he does tonight, he's not any good. And that showed up last
week. So he's a bad quarterback.
He's not good.
He can't work himself out of it?
No, that's not fixable. That little glazed look in your face. You know, Blake Bortles doesn't have the – you know, Blake Bortles walked into the huddle as a rookie, and there was no glazed look on his face. Watch Cousins tonight. You'll
like
see.
Glazed donut look?
Yeah, you know the look I'm talking about. You've been in huddles with guys like that.
The deer in the headlight look?
Yeah. It's just they don't know – yeah. So, yeah.
Oh, I think Joe's telling us we need to wrap.
But I want to see the superstar, too, tonight, Russell Wilson.
Let's finish with this. Can the Jags get this done in Tennessee this week?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and in fact, the more I think about it, I was going to pick Tennessee. The more I'm thinking about it, I might flip that pick.
Whoa.
Wow.
Whoa, Pete.
We'll be on CBS Sports?
Yes.
Wow,
I might flip it. I haven't
wait.
Flipped it yet. Oh. I'm thinking about it.
I can't wait to see it.
Yeah.
How are your picks going, Pete?
Very good. I'm one of the – there's a – pick tracker out
I
there.
I don't care what that is.
And I was number one last week.
Really?
In the whole of all the analysts out there, number one.
All
pick
the
tracker.
Idiots. You were the big idiot.
All the idiots. If you made picks, you'd be down near the bottom.
No,
you know,
no. I'm a good picker.
But then you know what happened? You'd go 4-12 and he'd play the music anyways to make you feel better.
Where'd you go last week?
Oh, wow.
You know, it's like you clap for the kid who got like a D the first time. That's what that is.
Well, usually a trophy for participating. Yeah. Right?
Usually they clap for the short, fat kid. That'd be you.
Well, no. They didn't. That was never me.
Yes, you are.
I was an athlete.
You're not. Pete, you've never been an athlete.
You want to go shoot baskets? I'll shoot your lights
Pete,
out.
Don't make me bring up the softball
story.
I'm
not a softball. I know. I'll admit that. I'll admit that. But you know what I did
don't
the next year?
Don't make me bring it up.
I know what I did next year? I went and hit softball, so I was ready for softball, and it got rained out. Remember,
have you ever heard the softball story?
I struck out.
Not,
I struck
Let's
out
finish
softball.
With the softball
right.
story.
Real
then
quick,
we'll go to timeout.
Okay, so Mark had this charity event, and it was the players against the media in a softball
quickly.
At the baseball ground.
No, we're not. We've got plenty
up.
Of time.
At the baseball grounds.
Yeah.
And so we all go out there, and it's all the four current Jaguar players against the current media. And we play a five.
I struck out twice.
Hold
He's
on. Let me
it.
Tell the story. About a five inning baseball game, I guess. Softball game. 4 or 5 innings. So Pete gets up, and the first time I was playing second base because my shoulder was trashed, so I couldn't throw it very far. And I'm playing second base, and Pete gets up there and swings 3 times and strikes out. But, JP, it wasn't just the swings. It was how, awkward and, unathletic.
That's not true because I was a good baseball player.
And how, like, he wasn't even close to hitting
because
the baseball.
I never played softball. I played baseball. So I'm way ahead of the pitch, and I didn't settle down.
It's like three times the size ball, and it's yellow.
You saw me when I threw the first pitch. When I threw the first pitch. Do you remember when I threw the first pitch out of the Suns game?
It.
No, I did not.
JP,
I'll bet you my life. You're
lying.
Were
you there when I threw it out, pitch?
I probably
I did not bounce the pitch. Strike. I threw it right down the
anyway,
pipe.
So my next – so the next time he gets up, we go through an inning or two.
And I struck out again.
Pete gets up again.
You're long-winded. Just tell the story.
No, it's a great story. It's one of my favorites. Pete gets up again, and JP – the entire infield, we lay down. Lay down.
I mean, I'm not going to deny it.
If he gets makes contact, it's a double. First
we'll go
pitch.
To the basketball court right whiff. Now. We'll go to the basketball
second
court right
pitch,
now.
Whiff. We'll go third pitch.
Yep.
Sit down, right. Briscoe.
Right.
Bam.
Because I was way ahead of it. And I
JP.
So you know what I did?
He struck out twice in slow pitch softball. He is not an athlete.
You want to go to the basketball court right now, and we'll shoot, and I guarantee
what
you.
What basketball court are we going to go to, Pete?
There's one upstairs. That's Ryan Robinson. I shot him in what's his name?
There's a basketball court upstairs?
There was one time. I shot him and Zoe out one time on that basketball court.
I don't think it's there
anymore. Yeah, I don't either.
That's it for Jaguars
wanna
Monday.
You want to go run right now?
Not got a bad foot.
Of course he does.
You want to go lift 225 pounds?
Yeah, I do.
I bet. How many times with that shoulder?
You have 6-inch arms.
New program right after us now. Tony Smith is still on it. Fat Tony. It's time out. Fat Tony and Paul Spicer. What's up, guys?
You got it, man. What's going on, fellas? Have they been like this all night after the USC and Arizona State antics over the weekend?
It started in the first segment of
the
show.
They felt bad for him today, Tony. They felt really bad for Pacelli.
Oh, I'm
sure he wasn't even
they
watching
did.
The game at the end. What kind of fan is he?
I fell asleep.
I've heard.
We were winning.
I've heard, Pete, that there's nothing more difficult in sports to do than hit that 9-foot arced pitch. That is the most difficult thing in sports. Is
if
the
you
wicket.
Only play baseball and you're lunging at it, yes, it's hard to hit.
Hey, Spice.
Let me say this. Can I just add one more thing to that?
Yeah.
Of the 19 other players, I think it was 10 on a side, there wasn't one other strikeout.
Yeah, there was. But I never played softball.
No. There was no one who struck out.
If we had an athlete-a-thon, you wouldn't win. I'll tell you that right now.
I bet Paul.
Athlete-a-thon.
No I'm making it up.
Spice, you know. You've
pool,
seen
bowling.
Oh, wait, pool.
Basketball.
Pool,
ping pong.
Pool.
Bowling.
Hey, pool and bowling. When did those become athletic events?
We've got to have 20 of them, so it's got to be an athlete-a-thon. You got to do
Pete
everything.
Was on an intramural bowling team. In,
no, and I'm not a great bowler either, but I know I beat Pacelli. He got bad shoulders. He can't throw the ball. plus, if we do anything like if we had to wrestle around, I'd hit him in the hip. And separate it. Take it off.
You don't want to hit the hip now. It's steel. It's steel.
It'll
hurt.
Come off, though.
No, it's in there pretty good.
That'll do it for Jaguars Monday. We'll finish on a high note and send it over to you guys.